I want to pivot to a cluster of stories that share a common thread: things being preserved, ported, or rebuilt with craft and care. These aren't headline-grabbing business stories, but they're some of the most engaged conversations on HN today, and I think that engagement tells us something about what the community actually values.
Start with the N64 decompilation project, 250 points, 145 comments. Someone spent 84 days methodically decompiling a Nintendo 64 game, which means reverse engineering compiled machine code back into readable C source code, annotating it, understanding it, and documenting how the game actually works at a technical level. This isn't just nostalgia. N64 decompilation projects have historically led to fan-made ports running on platforms the original game never supported, as well as preservation of software that would otherwise be unplayable as original hardware fails.
The technical depth of the post is impressive. Modern decompilation involves matching compiler outputs, identifying function boundaries, recovering data structures from memory layouts, and making educated guesses about programmer intent from assembly patterns. The 84-day timeline gives you a sense of how labor-intensive this is, even with modern decompilation tools. The HN thread has several people who have worked on similar projects for other N64 games, sharing specific techniques.
OpenTIE and OpenXWA, modern ports of TIE Fighter and X-Wing Alliance, are in a similar spirit. These are two of the most beloved PC games of the 1990s, space combat simulations that defined a genre, and they've been largely unplayable on modern hardware without emulation hacks. The ports are attempting to rebuild them natively for modern operating systems while preserving the original gameplay. 171 points and a comment thread full of people who clearly have strong feelings about X-Wing controls.
The Afterglow project brings back After Dark screensavers on modern Mac OS. After Dark was the iconic screensaver software of the late 1980s and early 1990s. The flying toasters are burned into the memory of everyone who spent time around Macintoshes in that era. Afterglow is a genuine engineering effort to make those animations run on Apple Silicon Macs. It's technically interesting because the original code was written for 68,000 era Macs, and getting it to run on ARM requires careful compatibility work.
The 507 Mechanical Movements website, 596 points, which is extraordinarily high for something that's essentially an interactive encyclopedia, deserves a moment. It's based on a 19th century book cataloging 507 distinct mechanical movements: gears, cams, linkages, escapements. The website animates each one. The HN thread has engineers, hobbyists, and educators all sharing how they're planning to use it. There's something about seeing abstract mechanical principles animated that makes them immediately comprehensible in a way text descriptions never achieve.
The Divergence Theorem Volume Computation post fits here too. It's a mathematics blog post explaining how you can compute the volume of an arbitrary 3D mesh hilariously fast by applying the divergence theorem, a result from multivariable calculus, in a way that converts a computationally expensive 3D integral into a much cheaper surface integral. The author's enthusiasm for the result is infectious, and the HN thread is full of people who either knew this and are delighted it's getting attention, or who just learned it and are slightly embarrassed they didn't know it before.
Microduck, 686 points, 216 comments, is a tiny open source robot from Pollen Robotics that's generating enormous enthusiasm. It's small enough to hold in one hand, designed explicitly to be hackable, and priced to be accessible to hobbyists and educators rather than just research labs. The timing is notable. Consumer robotics has been overhyped for years, and the HN community has a long memory for ambitious robotics announcements that failed to deliver. The warmth around Microduck seems to come from its modesty. It doesn't promise to change the world, it just looks like a genuinely fun thing to build with.
The M5 Stack Paper Mono is in a similar register. A compact e-ink development terminal that combines an e-paper display with a microcontroller for building connected projects. E-ink is having a quiet renaissance in the maker community because the always-on, ultra-low-power nature of the display opens design spaces that LCD and OLED screens close off. You can build a status display that runs for months on a battery. The HN thread has people already building price trackers, weather stations, and transit dashboards with it.
Japan's Suica Story, 252 points, 232 comments is a lovely piece of transit history. Suica was Japan's first IC transit card, launched in 2001, and the post covers the engineering and organizational challenges of deploying contactless payment at scale in one of the world's most complex urban transit systems. The HN thread quickly became a comparative discussion of transit payment systems around the world, with people sharing experiences from London's Oyster card, Hong Kong's Octopus card, and various American systems that are frankly embarrassing by comparison.
The select star from internet blog posts post, querying blog content with SQL-like syntax is a clever tool that makes the federated web more legible. And Sub Smith, the show HN for turning your own videos into language learning material, is a genuinely useful application. You upload a video in your target language, it generates vocabulary exercises and comprehension questions from the content. The Flatpak story, Germany's sovereign tech agency investing 500,000 euros in the Linux application packaging system, is worth holding for a moment because it connects to broader themes.
The sovereign tech agency is a German government program that funds open source infrastructure on the grounds that critical digital infrastructure shouldn't depend entirely on volunteer labor and corporate goodwill. 500,000 euros isn't life-changing money for a large open source project, but it represents something important. A government explicitly treating open source software as public infrastructure deserving public investment. The Emacs 31 Markdown Mode post and the Bootstrappable Builds piece both speak to communities that maintain this kind of infrastructure through careful, patient, collective effort.